Amen. Good morning. And the title of the sermon this morning is, We Have This Ministry. We have this ministry. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that we do have a great ministry, and that's soul winning, Lord. And I just pray that you just fill me with the Holy Spirit now as I preach, Lord, and let the people be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've learned a lot about people that are trash so far, but how do we fix this trash problem? Well, you know, soul winning obviously is the answer to that. It looks like we have a whole lot of soul winners here this morning, amen. And I don't know how many are here, but it looks like well over 100 and probably close to 200. But the title of my sermon, like I said, is We Have This Ministry. So look down at verse number 1 in our text here. It says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So just a little context behind this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth for the second time. And in chapter 3, Paul gets done explaining how God has made us ministers of the New Testament and how the veil is over the eyes of the Jews when the law of Moses is read every week. So turn back with me just one chapter here and look at verse, 2 Corinthians 3:6. It says, Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now skip down to verse number 17. It says in verse number 17, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now what is liberty? Liberty is the state of being free. And it's also the state of being not imprisoned or enslaved. So God's given us a liberty. He's given us a ministry. He's given us the ministry to go soul winning, amen? Amen. And so turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So I'm just going to go through a few things before I really get into the meat of the message here. God's given us a ministry, though, and it's the ministry of reconciliation. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, and I'm going to read through several scriptures here, but I'll try to do it quickly, okay? So it says, For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that in it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. With the church that is in their house, all the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. Now, don't greet me with the holy kiss, okay, if you see me. I'm just not that kind of guy, okay? But anyway, I'm just kidding. But what's the point? Pastor Thompson, what's your point? Why did you read all this? Well, the point is that Paul, one of the greatest soul winners, arguably probably the greatest soul winner of all time besides the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in 2 Corinthians 3:6, he made us ministers of the New Testament. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4:1, he said, we have this ministry. See, Paul the Apostle didn't do it all by himself. He had a team of people to do it with him, right? So, we have this ministry. Everybody in this room has a ministry, and that ministry is soul winning. Amen? That's the one thing. Why are we here? Why did God leave us here after he saved us? Why are we still operating in this world? Because we have this ministry, and this ministry is soul winning. And Paul didn't say, I have this ministry, even though he'd be okay to say that, right? But he said, we. He's talking to everybody as if they're one big team. So, and who was his team? Well, we just went through Timotheus, Apollos, Stephanas, Fortunatus, I don't know how to pronounce some of these names, Achaicus, Aquila, Priscilla. He had Demas who forsook him. He had Mark. He had Barnabas. He had all these, you know, every epistle, he kind of lists these people that are helping him out. Because Paul didn't do it on his own. He had a great big team to do it with him. That's why he said, we have this ministry. So it's not just one person. It's not just Pastor Anderson. It's not just Pastor Jimenez. It's everybody in our churches is part of that team. And we all need to be on that team. We, you know, God wants everybody to be a soul winner in his churches. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm trying to make it easy on you here early. We'll stay in the Corinthians here. Second Corinthians 5, look at verse number 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ, by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we have obtained mercy, like it said in 2 Corinthians 4, we obtain mercy, that's why we have this ministry. In this verse it says, he reconciled us to himself and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And it says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what is the ministry we have? The ministry of reconciliation, which is reconciling man to God. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do as soul winners. Amen? So let's see. It is a great responsibility also to have this ministry. It's not something that we should take lightly. And just a little English lesson here. We is plural. Us is plural, right? And that's why when we say, well, the King James isn't that hard to understand. Thee, thine, and thou, that's singular, right? And ye, you, and yours is plural, okay? So let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18. So you say, Pastor Thompson, are you saying that this is my ministry too? Of course I am. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's everybody's ministry to do soul winning, amen? So look at Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore. Now, is that plural or is that singular? That's plural, right? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, now a lot of people, you know, people that don't like soul winning will say, well, you know, they were just talking to the apostles. Really? Because why are we all here then? How did we all get here? Because somebody got us saved, right? That chain has been unbroken, that there's been always saved people, because if the chain ever was completely broken, then we wouldn't be here right now. That means we have this ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry. It's committed unto us. And so we are going forth today to complete that ministry, amen? So that's, I mean, obviously everybody here is to go soul winning, right? But so let's see. Turn to back to 2 Corinthians 4:1. And here's the thing. We might not have all the flashy cars. And a lot of people in this room have probably lost friends. Who's lost friends because you're part of this ministry? Okay? Who's lost family members? Who's had family members that say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with you anymore? Lots of people, right? You know, people at work, they mock us, don't they? They think we're weirdos. You know, our friends have completely just gave up on us. They think that we're brainwashed idiots, right? So we have a lot of issues dealing with people out in the world, right? A lot of people hate us. They hate what we stand for. You know, they can take everything away from us and just try to strip everything away from us, but we know what we still do have? We still have this ministry. And that is what's the most important. The most important thing we could be doing is soul winning, amen? So back in 2 Corinthians 4, I just want to give you some things to help keep you in this ministry, all right? So 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So number one, don't quit. You have this ministry. We have this ministry. So what's the one thing that we should never do? We should never quit on soul winning. And look, I've been doing this for a little while. Not as long as Pastor Menes and Pastor Anderson and some of the other pastors, but I've been doing this for a while and I've seen people quit. So I'm sure they've seen people quit. And Galatians, turn over to Mark 6:31. But in Galatians 6:9, I'll read that for you while you're turning there. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we're supposed to not be weary in well-doing. And is it well-doing to go get people saved? Amen. Amen. So we shouldn't, it says we faint not. And the Bible, it has the Bible has a theme talking about not fainting. And it's, you know, when you think of fainting, you think, oh, you know, I'm fainting. No. What, look, when you work in construction, who works in construction here? Has there been days when, you know, and of course everybody has different jobs, but my job's construction right now. And there's been some days where I'm out in the hot sun and I feel faint. And that's what he's talking about. You know, you feel faint, you feel like quitting, you feel like stopping, right? You get tired and you're like, oh man, I just want to just be done, right? I've been out on asphalt for 14 hours and your feet get hot, you feel cooked, you know, no water is helping. You just feel faint, you just want to quit. But God doesn't want us to quit, and he has ways to help us out in that area. So we can get burnt out in our Christian life. We can get to the point where we say, you know what, I really don't feel like going soul winning today. You know, and as you do it for years, you feel that way more often than you did when you first started. When I first started soul winning, like, all the time, I was always excited to go, and I was like, what's wrong with you guys? Let's go, you know? But as I've been doing it for years now, it's more often, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes I feel like not going. Who feels like not going sometimes? And obviously, some people don't feel like going. And obviously, if you're super sick, you probably shouldn't go and cough in people's faces and things like that, right? But let's see. You're in Mark 6:31. It says, "And he said unto them, Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." So the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ were working so hard that they didn't even have time to stop and eat. And Jesus said, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. Sometimes it's okay to take a rest. You know that? Right. On our missions trips, you don't have to go for 12 and a half hours a day to be right with God. Okay? You can go for 4 or 5 hours on a missions trip and still be just as right as God as anybody else. Okay? And sometimes we get to where we're pressuring people to feel like, hey, you're not doing enough. Now, obviously, if someone goes on a missions trip and they're like, well, I went for 30 minutes, I'm going to go on vacation. That's ridiculous, okay? But, you know, obviously, there's ultra people that get ultra spiritual and they're like, you're not doing enough. You're not, you know, like people like Doug Trowbridge, right? You're just not as spiritual as I am because I love souls, you know? And everybody knows, if anybody knows, Doug Trowbridge is a clown, right? And obviously, he's probably a psychopath reprobate. You know, these people that get ultra spiritual and they think that they act like they're so much better than you, in reality, they're probably not even really getting people saved. Look at Garrett Kirchway, for instance. Anyway, so the key to not quitting, turn over to Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse number 28. God has the answers for everything. When you feel like quitting, this is some good verses to go and just meditate on. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." See, God doesn't faint. God never gets tired. But he knows that we do sometimes. Now look at what it says. It says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Now, I take this kind of verse to heart, because I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not a youth anymore. So I see kids running around, and you know, young men can work, usually do a little more than I can, a lot more than I can. But you know, God is the one that gives me strength. God is the one that pushes me through to keep going soul winning and to keep walking those triple-decker apartment complexes, right? You know, the older you get, you look at those triple-deckers, you're like, oh, man, it's going to be a rough soul winning day. But, you know, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what's the key to not fainting, to not quitting? Well, it's to wait upon the Lord. And see, you know, I know a lot of people think that it's just like they that pray and wait for God to answer their prayers, that that's what it's talking about. But also, have you ever heard someone say, hey, who's your waiter? You know, is there a waiter in the house or whatever? You know, we have people that waiting upon someone is also doing things for them, isn't it? So, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it says, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you're working hard for God, you know, God's going to renew your strength, even though you're weary. You keep working for God, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure that you don't faint. So the key to not fainting in your soul winning ministry, get your strength from the Lord. Don't get your strength from yourself. There's times when I get super tired. I've worked a long week. I've worked four 12-hour shifts in a row or whatever, and then it's time to go soul winning, and I'm exhausted. Sometimes I'll just stop because I know I'm feeling faint, and I just say, Lord, give me the strength to get through today. Give me the strength to get through tomorrow. Give me the strength to write my sermons for this weekend. You know what I mean? When you're in the ministry, and guys that are in the ministry understand this, there's times when you feel faint. There's times when you need the Lord to give you the strength because you just can't go any further without him. Amen? And if you ever feel like quitting soul winning, just remember this. God's going to give you the strength to keep moving on. Right? Even the young children will faint, but God will give you the strength and increase your strength for you, because God's going to carry you through when you get weary. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is my longest point. Matthew 9, verse 35. Because, quite frankly, a lot of people quit. They do. I mean, we started this church and we're running about, I don't know, 80, 90 people right now. But we'd be running a lot more if all the people that didn't quit stayed there. We've had whole families leave. But you know what? It's funny, when one family leaves, another family comes, like the next week. And not everybody quits not everybody leaves the church because of bad things. Sometimes people just move away, right? But God, it seems like God always brings another family along as soon as that family leaves. So it's pretty interesting. Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see that? The Lord Jesus Christ, he cared about the people and had compassion upon them. Because why? Because they fainted and they were as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know why the laborers are few? Because people faint. Because people quit. And, you know, God is looking for laborers. And obviously we have a whole room filled with laborers today. But look, there's going to come a time in your Christian life when you're going to feel like quitting. When all the persecution happens with your family and your friends and your work and just it. Look, the devil wants to put you in his pressure cooker. He wants to put you in his compactor. But see, look, God's going to renew your strength. Amen. So, number two, we have this ministry. Don't hide it. Okay, look at you're going to want to keep a ribbon in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So the worst possible people to hide the gospel is who? Who's the worst possible people you can hide the gospel from? The lost people, right? So he's saying if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And it says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the last possible thing we want to do is stop preaching the gospel to the lost. It's hid to them that are lost, right? But you know, we have so many times, but there's other times we could go when we are out and about and you run into people and you think, I know that some people that are soul winners think, I should give this person the gospel. And then sometimes you don't, right? Well, we're hiding the gospel from the lost. Just because it's not your scheduled soul winning time doesn't mean you can't just stop and give someone else the gospel in your daily life. See, people come across your path, and you know, when you get that I don't know if it's that inner conscience voice that you have, you say, I should give the gospel to that person. You should listen. Because a lot of times when you do listen, that person gets saved. So, and obviously the God of this world is blinding the minds of them that believe not. See, salvation's a miracle. It really is, because the devil blinds the minds of them that believe not. And we're the ones that are supposed to shine the light of the gospel to them. In 2 Timothy 2:25, it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the devil has people that he has snared, and everybody has their own snare that they're involved in. You know, you notice when you're soul winning sometimes, and they just have this one particular thing that they don't want to give up, and they won't get saved because of it. Well, I just think that God, you know, wants me to do good works. And they just, no matter how many scripture verses you give them, they just won't let that go because they want to be in charge of their own salvation. They don't want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ only for their salvation. They want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and themselves, which their faith is made void if they do that, right? So look, eternity is on the line here. It's heaven or hell. And this ministry is not a game. It's not a game that we play. And the old IFB have played, they've resorted to playing games like the bus ministry, right? You know, the bus ministry isn't soul winning, just so you know. And you might be able to win souls in the bus ministry. And look, I've been part of the bus ministry. I've been part of junior church. I've been part of all this. I've even been an altar worker, you know? I know, I'm wicked, right? But look, sometimes people come up to the altar, they do get saved if they have someone that gives them the right gospel. Now, I'm not advocating for altars. Obviously, we don't do altar calls at our church. Amen. Because the Bible doesn't say anything about doing altar calls in the New Testament, does it? Amen. I don't think it says anything about doing altar calls necessarily in the Old Testament either. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But you know, the thing is, door hangers aren't soul winning. Yeah. See, the old IFBs replaced real soul winning and replaced it with games and candy. Amen. For kids. And that the soul winning bus ministry is that's so if you look on a website at a church and you say, hey, I'm going to go visit this church, they have soul winning. What does the soul winning end up being? It ends up being the bus ministry, doesn't it? Hey, go knock doors and try to get kids to come. Lure them with your candy, you know. I don't know who came up with that, but it works. It does work. And look, you can get kids saved, obviously. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that that's not what soul winning is. Soul winning is when the Bible says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's soul winning. Going to the door. Jack Hiles said it really good. He said, we need to get back to the doorstep. And that's what this movement's doing, is we're getting back to the doorstep. You know, and I'm really sick and tired of these Jehovah's Witnesses. People think we're Jehovah's Witnesses when we come to the door. And we need to take that back. And stop letting people think we're Mormons. And just, hey, make sure they realize you're a Baptist when you come to the door. And that when, you know, when they're like, oh, hey, the Baptists are coming again. You know, they're not thinking the Jehovah's Witnesses are coming again with their little slow walking. Right? And we're Baptists. And, you know, if they're going to get sick of us, I want them to be sick of the Baptists coming to their door and not the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Amen. So number one was don't quit. Number two was don't hide it. Number three, we have this ministry. We need to let it shine. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 4:5. We were at a door the other day. I think it was me and Brother Mark. And they're like, oh, you're not Jehovah's? You're not Jehovah's? No, we're Baptist. I don't think we said it emphatically enough when we went to the door. Anyway, look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of us, or may be of God and not of us. So just like God commanded the light to shine into the darkness, he commands us to be a light in the world and shine into the darkness of this world, the darkness of men, where sin creeps around. You know, darkness is obviously a picture of sin, and God wants us to shine our lights into the darkness. Now you say, Brother Aaron, what are you talking about? It's the light of Jesus. It is the light of Jesus, but the light of Jesus is in these earthen vessels, and we need to shine that light forth. Look at Matthew chapter, turn to Matthew chapter 5, and while you're turning there, I'm going to read John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3, 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that the light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, the light, the darkness hates the light. They don't want to be reproved of their sin. But Jesus told us very specifically in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So first of all, you got to understand, you got to be a little salty, right? We can't be without salt. If the salt's lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out. Look, if you're not soul winning, you're really good for nothing to God, to be honest with you. That's what the Bible is really saying there. And it also says, you're the light of the world. We have the light of Jesus within us, right? And we need to shine that light forth to the people that are lost, because the devil has them taken captive at his will. And we need to shine that light forth. And you know what? I believe in lifestyle evangelism. Your life should match what your message is preaching. So, look, if you're at work and you're just living wickedly at work and you're cussing like a sailor, do you think that coworker is going to want to hear the gospel that you're preaching to them? No. And so, you know, don't be afraid, Pastor. I'm sorry. I mean, I was being a little facetious there when I said I believe in lifestyle evangelism. But look, your life should match what you're preaching. Right. If you're living like the devil and then you're trying to give the gospel around everybody, then they're not going to want to hear your message. Right. You got to be salt. You got to be light. Right? So number four, well, number one was don't quit. Number two was don't hide it. Number three, let it shine. Number four, we have this ministry, don't let it be quenched. Look at verse number 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So, what's the Bible saying? We are going to go through trouble as Christians. We're going to go through persecutions. We're going to be troubled. We're going to be perplexed at times. We're going to be cast down. We're going to be persecuted. And look, the Apostle Paul goes on to say here, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but he actually was, people were trying to literally kill him. People stoned him. He was shipwrecked. He went all, through all these things. He was just beaten with rods. And you know, he bared the marks of the Lord Jesus in his body. He took some beatdowns in his lifetime. Now we're not going through that right now. Our persecutions are light in comparison to what the Apostle Paul went through. But you know, our persecutions are from family members saying you're in a cult. I can't believe you're going to church again. Right? Who's heard that? Yeah. So, you know, those persecution comes from your old friends. You know, they'll call, they'll message you every once in a while on Facebook. Do you really believe that all fags should burn in hell? Yeah. Amen. You know, and slowly but surely they stop posting on your Facebook page, don't they? Or they just delete you, you know, whatever. But our persecution's pretty light. But we do get persecution, and sometimes that pressure from a family member can be pretty intense. Your own family. You know, but the Bible's very clear that Jesus said he came not to bring peace. Turn over to Luke chapter 12, verse number 51. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. Look at Luke 12, 51. Luke 12, 51 says, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And Pastor Anderson was preaching, he used these verses a couple weeks ago, and he said, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, that happens a lot anyway, doesn't it? But what's the point here? Is that there's going to be divisions even within your own family members. Sons against dads. You know, those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it says where your hand will be the first upon them. Sometimes that division is the husband and wife. You know, he said even if it's your wife that you're supposed to be the first. I mean, that's crazy, right? To have to kill your own wife. But that's how God divides things. He's not just, you know, a gray area God. He's black and white. Okay? So in 1 Peter 5:8, we saw those verses last night. But ultimately the persecution comes from the devil himself too. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, he wants to devour you as a Christian. He wants to wreck your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to divide your family. He wants to eat you up. It says, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's resisting the steadfast in the faith, the ones that are standing strong, the ones that are going soul winning, the ones that are living godly in Christ Jesus, the ones that are reading their Bible, the ones that are praying, the ones that are three to thrive at church. He wants to resist the steadfast, right? He wants to resist you because he wants to devour you, and he wants to trip you up and make you fall. He wants to make you faint. He wants to make you quit, and he wants to destroy you. See, the devil, he hates his own children too. See, God loves his children, but the devil hates his children. He turns against his own children and has them killed too, because ultimately he doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about his own children. He props them up and puts them in high places and lets them destroy themselves and other people, because that's ultimately what he wants to do in the first place. But since we have this ministry, just know this, that the things that we're doing in this movement are not going unnoticed by the devil. Amen. New false prophets are being revealed every week. We had to kick some clown out of our church named Sebastian, that he's going around and still trying to cause problems in other churches, causing problems with Faith Word Baptist. And he just, look, if that guy text messages you, just ignore him. He's a clown. He just wants the attention. So just know this, that he's a heretic, he's a modalist, and what else is he? He's a flat earther, okay? Strike three, you're out, man. But we had to kick him out, and look, evil men shall wax worse and worse, right? Where Jesus went, just think about all the times that Jesus went places and then some demon started manifesting himself in front of him. I mean, look, the demons are going to come into our churches. The demons are going to come and try to plant and supplant themselves into our movement. And look, it's been talked about a lot, I know this, but don't let that discourage you. Don't let that, you know, keep your ranks, like Pastor Major was saying last night. Keep your ranks and just let that guy be anathema, Maranatha, right? Amen. So, but we have this ministry, you know, have you ever noticed this also, that like the reprobates always seem to find each other in the churches? Right? And they seem to find husbands and, you know, husbands and wives, right? So you got Tyler Baker and his wife, And then Dominique and Wendy, right? That how do they find each other? You know, how do they find each other like Garrett and Nao? Now, Nao, I knew for a long time that she was wicked, but I thought that maybe she got shored up or something, but apparently that wasn't the case. But, you know, how do they find each other? It's like a fag, right? Fags can find each other in a room anytime. It's like they just have this fag sense about them that they just know who the other fags are, right? It's weird. And it's the same thing with the reprobates. The reprobates find each other too, and they collude together. And now look at them all. They're like the Legion of Doom in their little Facebook group or whatever they're in. Not Facebook, but what's the WhatsApp, right? They have their WhatsApp group, and they're just, look, they're irrelevant. Amen. We got to just keep going soul winning and doing the things that we do. And just, you know, don't marvel, because the devil's people manifest themselves as angels of light, right? They try to masquerade like they're one of us. They try to pretend like they're one of us, but eventually the mask comes off and we find out who they are. But God reveals those things in his time. So just don't get discouraged about things like that. Number one was don't quit. Number two was don't hide it. Number three, let it shine. Number four, don't let it get quenched. And the thing is about these fags, before I move on, though, is that, you know, they always find each other, not just the fags, but the reprobates. But, you know, persecution also comes from churches. Before I move on to my next point, I forgot this part. All right, persecution comes in our own churches. So not our churches, but churches, like there's people here that go to a church that's not a new IFB church, right? So just a little story about what happened in Boise. So Boise has been a miracle of God also. And, you know, the thing is what ended up happening is that people are saying at these churches in these different towns, they'll call up and say, hey, you know, what time are your service times? And they're like, do you listen to Steven Anderson? And they're like, oh, yeah. And they're like, okay, you're not welcome here. That's what's happening. They're saying, where'd you go to church last week? Well, I live streamed something. Oh, yeah? Who were you listening to, Steven Anderson? And then they say, don't come here. That's how the Boise church basically started, and that's what they're doing. They want to try, they're dividing the lines right now. They're dying on the vine. Their churches are dying, and what's really weird to me is that they'll just kick out soul winners. You know, they're like, all the people that are soul winning and bringing life into their church are like, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. Because they just want to keep doing the same stuff that they're doing. They want to still have one person over here that believes in repent of your sins, one person over here that's Calvinistic. You know, they don't want to divide like you should. They don't want the new IFB in their churches, because the new IFB is injecting life into their churches. And they're saying, hey, you know, that guy's a pedophile. Why don't you kick him out of the church? And they don't like that kind of stuff. They don't like to be told what to do. It's really funny to me that they'll kick out a person that's a soul winner. They'll say, hey, you can't come back here, but they'll let some fag stay into their church. They'll let him be in the sound booth, or they'll let him be the song leader wearing his lavender shirt or whatever. We had a guy like that at one of the churches that we went to. The last church before we started this church, there was a fag song leader, and he went to Golden Calf Bible College or whatever. His name was Justin Gillen. And Justin Gillen, he got caught with 280 child pornography things, and he was the principal at a school, a Baptist school over in, I think it was in Oregon City. Okay? Caught by the feds, and you know how they caught him? They tied the fed that was whatever the federal agent typed in, I think 7-year-old boy, and that's how they found him. And they linked back to what he was looking at, and he was looking at 7-year-old boys. And that guy was at our church, but they would rather have us leave. Yep, that's right. The new IFB people that were in their church, they'd rather have us leave than that faggot. Yeah. And you know what? I said, look, he's going to do it again. Yeah. And when he does, that's going to be on you. Right. So months later, he was married too, by the way, and had like 2 kids. His wife caught him not too long after that with, he was looking up incestuous things about his, you know, about young children. you know, father, daughter, weird stuff, right? So finally, he kicked him out of the church. But, you know, someone that's a soul winner, they'll just let them stay there. You know, I mean, they'll just kick them out and let the fag stay there. It's weird. It's a strange anomaly that's going on in Baptist churches. But, you know, thank God that some people in Boise have bound together, and we can give them, you know, Pastor Menes can give them some structure that they can have their own church, because those churches have kicked them out. There was a guy there that was going to a church, and he said, you know, the pastor just basically said, you can't even bring your own converts to church. So the people that they were getting saved, they wouldn't even let the converts come to church. That's pretty crazy. That's getting crazy. But the thing is that just like Samson, you know, Samson was a spirit-filled man of God at times in his life. And, you know, when the lion was roaring against him, what did he do? He rent that lion like it was a kid. And basically the old IFB is like this. It's like that dead lion, that dead carcass on the ground. And we just got to get the honey out of it, and we need to do our own thing, right? We just got to be like the bees getting the honey out of it and just leave that carcass alone. So moving on to my next point, we have this ministry, start soul winning as soon as possible after being saved. So there's a lot of new saved people that join this movement all the time. And we need to understand that soul winning is a big deal. Look, we have this ministry. You can take the ministry back to your hometown. You can start your own soul winning ministry. And obviously, the best thing is to be in a good church. But if you're not in an area where there is a good church, start soul winning anyway. Okay? And look, maybe God will grant you a church of your own at some point. So just a little story about how the church, you know, do you think it was an accident that the church got started up in Vancouver? Do you think that it just happened? No. There was people that were being faithful in soul winning, and we bound together as a big group, and, you know, that's how it got started, basically. And so once this church has started kicking all the people out, it was just like it's going to be in Boise. You know, God just rose up a leader, and it happened to be me. I didn't know it was going to be me, but that wasn't really the plan at first. Honestly, it wasn't. But when we realized that, so we had someone that was supposed to come be the pastor there, and it didn't end up happening. It didn't end up panning out at that time. So someone asked me, hey, do you want to be the, what do you think about you? Are you willing to do it? And I was like, let me pray about that. But then the next day I was talking to another friend of mine who goes to my church now, and he's like, you need to step up. So I was like, okay. So, you know, and I just like, okay, I will. And so, you know, this is after the Orlando. This is after post-Orlando, right? Pastor Menes is looking for a building. You know, the last thing he wants to do is start a new church up in, up in Vancouver, Washington. But I watched a video that Pastor Anderson made. It was called Other Ways to Start Churches or something like that. And I'll tell you what, God spoke to my heart in that, you know, it wasn't even like a message. It was, this is just how you start other churches. And I thought this could be the way, you know. Because, look, we were all about to move away. And look, I would have been willing to move away. That's fine. You know, but I think that God wanted a place up in that Vancouver, Portland area so that those people wouldn't all have to go to hell, too. And look, we've had over 1,000 saved people there since we started that ministry up there, well over 1,000. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But that wouldn't have happened if God's people hadn't bound together and said, hey, we're going to do this thing together. And look, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Pastor Menes had mentioned this in his message. I thought it was a really good point. 1 Samuel 22, verse number 2, it says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So David, when he, you know, was fleeing from Saul, you know, he had all these men that came and gathered themselves together. They were the discontented. They were the ones that were in debt. You know, it's kind of like how these new satellite churches are starting. It's like you got all these people that are discontented and they're and they're unhappy because their churches are just spiritually weak and that the pastors have no spine. They'll tell one person salvation by faith and they'll tell the next person it's repent of your sins or whatever. But, you know, these people gathered themselves together under a captain who was David, right? So that's kind of how these new churches are starting, you know. And look at Atlanta, Georgia, 25, 30 guys. Boom, Pastor Dave Burson's goes down and starts that church there. How about Orlando, Florida? There was people that were already soul winning down there, you know, the Lakeland soul winners. And what happened? So Pastor Boyle, he ended up not being able to stay at the church he was at, just shows up on a Wednesday night, and there's like, what, 20, 30 people there? Starts a church right there. See, the churches are popping up where places where people are doing the work already. Where the people have already gathered themselves together and they're just waiting for their captain to come and start the church, right? Amen. That's what's going on. That's how we're growing. Now, obviously, there's two ways to start a church. There's one way where, you know, you have a man of God that's sent out. He's already qualified and he goes and starts a church like down at Pure Word Baptist Church down in Houston, right? But there's other ways to start churches, and the way that these satellite churches are starting is because there's a group of people that are already there. They're already soul winning. So this is what I see a lot on online and on YouTube and things where people are like, send somebody over here. Are you doing the work? Are you bound together with other believers? Are you doing what you should be doing, or are you just not having your ministry? You're like, oh, I'll just wait to go soul winning, you know, and bind together with other believers when somebody comes. That day's never going to come. If you think if you're not already doing something, that God's just going to just send somebody to Timbuktu or wherever you're at, Podunk, Hala, you know, he's not. You know, there's got to be some people that are bound together, you know, and sometimes there's a, like in Vancouver, we have a special thing there because we have people that travel from long distances to get to our church. Now, obviously, that's not something that you can do forever, but we have our services designed so that people could come and just spend a whole day with us and go home, and they're still at home at a reasonable hour. So, but God is doing a great work right now with these satellite churches and with these new church plants. That's why there's so many popping up, and hopefully there's double what there is this time at this time next year. There's like somewhere around 20 churches or something. I'm starting to lose track, but that's a good thing. Like, I'm sitting there trying to count all the different pastors and all the different satellites, and it's getting crazy, right? But if you start soul winning early, look, if you're in the new IFB and you're not soul winning, you need to get into plugged into a program. If you don't have a good church to go to, then you need to find one. And if you can't find one, move. You know, but you don't have to necessarily move if you have a big group of people. Just say, hey, we got 25 people over here. We're already soul winning. We're already doing the work. Send us somebody. And I'll tell you what, God is going to send a person to you. He really will. Look, the part of the story I didn't tell you about is that I started listening to like Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez's sermons, and I was just like, hey, I'm just going to go down and ask him for a pastor. You know, I'm just that stupid. I just go down. I'm just going to go down to Phoenix. I'm sure nobody else has ever done that before, right? Please send us a pastor. But that's kind of how it all started. You know, I was just like, hey, I'm just going to ask. You know, sometimes if you ask God for things, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. If he knows you're going to do what he wants you to do. But if you're just sitting there, you know, watching YouTube videos, hoping that some pastor is going to start a church in some small town out in the middle of nowhere of a new IFB church, people ask all the time. They're like, hey, will you start a church in like Stanfield, Oregon? Or, you know, I'm just making up, you know, whatever, some that town has like 3,000 people in it or something. It's not going to happen. You know, what's the plan? We're trying to send the people to the biggest populations that we can right now. And then, you know, eventually the smaller areas will get people. But, you know, Boise, Idaho is not a huge place, but like the surrounding areas around it, it is pretty big. It's the biggest city in Idaho. How is the biggest city in Idaho getting a church? How did that happen? Well, there was a bunch of people that were bound together, and they said, hey, Pastor Jimenez, will you send somebody over here? And he looked at the situation. There's 25 people, 30 people that don't have a church to go to, but they're all going soul winning. They're all trying to go to church. And God said, hey, I'm going to give you what you want.
Amen.
Right? So let me move on. So I didn't even get to my fifth point here. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. But in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it says, "We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, 'I believe, and therefore have I spoken.' We also believe and therefore speak." See, Paul went immediately soul winning. And that is an example to us as believers that we should immediately go soul winning. Now, obviously, Paul had special revelation. He pretty much had the God, you know, God spoke through the Holy Ghost to Paul, and he was able to go soul winning right away. But look, even if you're just going as a silent partner, which is what you should start as, you should still try to go immediately. Sometimes people will come to our churches and I know they're not going soul winning. You know, they're not going. And then when they come, they're like, "Oh, I'll go next time." Why? Go now. Yeah. Go while you have the chance. You're already at a new IFB church that you just happen to be visiting. Why don't you go soul winning with them?
Amen.
You know, take your kids with you. That's the other thing. Like, there's a lot of ladies that take their kids out soul winning with them, and it's kind of tough sometimes. But look, God's going to bless you when you take your kids out soul winning with you. He's going to bless you when you're out soul winning and doing the work. And Acts 9:19 says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this that he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?' But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which were dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." See, it didn't take Paul long to get out and start soul winning. And before long, he was already confounding the Jews and smoking them. You know, look, you should be able to get out there and destroy a Jehovah's Witness. You should know your Bible. But look, just at the beginning, you're not going to be able to do that. So don't try. You know, you don't want to try to contend with a Jehovah's Witness when you don't know the Bible. But once you start to know the Scriptures, once you start soul winning all the time, you're going to memorize the Scriptures because you're going to say them so much. But first, you got to take that step of actually going. All right? Number six, this is the last point. We have this ministry, exponential growth, exponential rewards. Okay? And we got to think about the things, we got to consider the rewards. Right? God didn't say that we had rewards just so we wouldn't try to plug into that reward system, right? You have reward cards for probably all different types of things in your purses and wallets today, don't you? You know, why do you go to Dutch Brothers and have that little card punched on your card so you can get the 10th one for free, right? But God's reward system is way better than any reward system that you can get at, like, I don't even know what the reward systems are. There's all different kinds of ones. There's gas rewards. Obviously, coffee's a big one. What's that, Jamba Juice? Does Jamba Juice have a rewards program? I don't know. Anyway, but God's program is way better. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we need to look ahead and see the things that are eternal. Sometimes we just live our life day to day, and we live our lives in the flesh. But those rewards that we have to look forward to, those things are things that we don't see. But, you know, you can still look at those things and redeem that time. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." See, how do you walk circumspectly? Not as fools, but as wise. You got to redeem that time. And look, people that are older, they have a harder time soul winning. Did you know that? The older you get, the harder it's going to get. So while you're young, redeem the time. Because look, we got a kid in our church that's 12 years old, and he's winning souls already. Praise the Lord. You know, kids, you can win souls. Did you know that? You know, I look creepy walking up to a little kid in an apartment complex. They get scared. People get scared at the door when I walk up to the door. I'm like this big towering person in the middle of their doorway. You need to get saved. No. You need Jesus. But little kids, when you walk up to little kids and you're 6'8", I mean, they get freaked out. But so kids, you can be a help when we're out and there's kids. Nobody's going to stop another little kid from giving their kid the gospel generally. I mean, there are some weird people out there, but kids, you can be effective in the kingdom of God. You can be a soul winner just like anybody else. And Zakiah, at our church, we sick him on all the kids at the apartment complexes. Go get those kids saved. And he gets people saved all the time, every week pretty much. So look, and when you're older, it's harder. Those three-flight apartment complexes get harder, don't they, guys? So how many 90-year-old people do you see out soul winning? Not very many. I don't know that I've ever seen a 90-year-old person out soul winning. So let me tell you this. I mean, there is no retirement program in God's kingdom, really. But the thing is that our bodies are going to catch up with us. There's going to be there was a guy that came soul winning one time, and he had a hip surgery. And so I said, well, hey, I'll just wheel you around. And so I wheeled him around in a wheelchair the whole time on a soul winning marathon. And it got hard. But imagine having to wheel yourself. You got to redeem the time now, because the thing is, you might not always have your health. And you might not always have the ability to walk and climb stairs. And I mean, soul winning is hard work. You beat the brakes off your shoes, don't you? I mean, I bought the exact same pair of shoes that I had last time I went soul winning. I was just talking to this with Brother Fannin earlier. You got to have a nice pair of soul winning shoes, because if you don't, then your feet are going to hurt. But, you know, you want those shoes to last you for a while. So, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of money on something in your wardrobe, I mean, you can get your coat at the Goodwill or whatever, but you should have a nice pair of shoes to go soul winning with. Amen. But anyway, so we have an exceeding weight, an eternal weight of glory waiting for us. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." See, God's prepared a great place for us in heaven. The Bible says in John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord Jesus Christ has a great place that he's preparing for us. And look, how do you get those rewards? Soul winning. And obviously, it's not just the only thing that you get rewards for, but soul winning is the main thing. And look, what's the greatest reward you can have in heaven? Seeing people that you love in heaven with you. Yeah. Seeing people in your family in heaven with you. So be careful before you just sever complete ties with family members that are unsaved. Look, just because they don't like you or your religion doesn't mean that they're reprobates. Okay, so try to, you know, obviously we know which ones are reprobates and which are, if they're a fag, they're obviously a reprobate. You know that. Just cut ties with them forever. But, you know, the thing is that you want to see those people in heaven with you. You want to see your friends in heaven with you, right? So that greatest reward that you can have in heaven is your friends and your loved ones there with you. But even the people that aren't your friends. You know, when you get to heaven, you're going to see faces of people, and you're like, hey, I remember you from somewhere. You're like, yeah, you got me saved. Thank you. And that's a great reward. Amen? But we, you know, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "As is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Look, it hasn't even entered into our hearts. You know, I used to wonder, like, what's heaven going to be like? Well, it's never entered into my heart. I don't know. I don't know. And God, and Paul wasn't even allowed to come back and tell people what heaven was like. So it's far beyond the scope of what we can think or dream of, because it says it's not entered into our hearts. So we have this ministry, and nobody can take that from us. So what I would say to you is that you need to make sure that you make that ministry yours as much as you possibly can. Now, obviously, we need to be sent out from a local church. That's the best way to do it. But look, do you think God, if you don't have a church in your area, do you think God still wants you to go soul winning? Yeah. course he does. So that's the thing that you should take away from this sermon, if you take away anything out of it at all, is that you need to make sure that that ministry is, you consider it yours. We have this ministry. It's given to us, and that we need to take that back. Take that back to your home. I don't know where everybody's from here. Some people are already in great churches. Don't quit. You know, some people are in a church, at least you're in a church, and they're not kicking you out. Stay there and be a blessing as long as you can. If you can't handle it, if you can't contain, then leave and go to another one that you can. All right? Because sometimes that, you know, repent of your sins or whatever it is that they're saying, that just ridiculous, you know, the Seminole Indian, the Seminole Indian, somewhat of a prophet, you know, if your church starts talking like that and you just can't handle it anymore, you need to go to a church that you can serve in. Amen. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for just the fact that you've given us a ministry, Lord. And I ask that you would help us, Lord, to keep it in mind, to not quit, Lord. And that we know that we have this ministry, and no matter what, nobody can take that away from us. I pray that you would help us as we go out to preach the gospel today to be fruitful, and Lord, that we might see some saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.